Chats with Cats podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back for another episode. You're here with Rick. That's myself. Dan.
Dan the man.
Always wearing black. And Mark.
Meow.
Always in the same clothes.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Hey, I found out something this week.
What?
It's going to ruin the rest of your podcast. Probably your night. And everyone at home too.
Okay.
You can always see your nose, but your brain tells you not to.
No.
Yeah, see now you can see it.
I can't see it.
I can see mine. Mine's very big though.
You've got a fucking huge nose.
Yeah, big schnoz. But this is
Rick's way of telling us that he's got a better nose. Like,
it's, I don't believe you. I reckon you can still see
it. As much.
Your eyes are pretty close together too. So there's there's no way you can't see your nose.
What the fuck?
I can see my nose right now.
Yeah, you got slightly wider eyes.
Yeah, this whole time I've been able to see my nose.
I haven't got beady eyes. What are you talking about?
I didn't say beady. I said they were closer together than his.
No, you told me before he got here they were beady.
Can you see your nose? Look at it. Everyone at home now is looking at their fucking nose.
Well, if I look to their side, I can definitely see it.
You can see your nose every single second of every single minute of our
and your
life.
God, your brain gets
see it all the time.
And your brain goes, I don't like seeing this, and it blocks it out. And then normal life, you don't see it.
You've ruined everyone's life.
Yeah. So the whole podcast, we're going to be doing the podcast all cross-eyed. And
wow. Should we start again? That's terrible. I just need some time to sit and not think about that for a while.
Oh, 200 of some water, a good night's sleep, and we go again next week.
Thanks. Brocker,
is it making
juice.
You feel awkward?
Pretty much. Actually, let me tell you something that I can't concentrate now. I'm just thinking about my nose. Now, there's something that was grinding me before that. Now, I've got two things that are really pissing me off, and one of them is my nose. Yeah. But the other one, have you ever had a significant other or a friend, and let me wind it back slightly, what are you guys like with money? Are you good with money?
I'm amazing with money.
I used to be amazing. When I worked a normal job, I would be the ultimate tight ass, like saving nonstop, very, very careful, and now just not at all, non-existent.
Why? What changed?
I think the way that I earn my money versus how I used to earn it and how much I was making an hour, because I was up at Woolies, you know, getting minimal money, and because I was working like long hours in a fucking bakery of all places, I was very careful about how I spent my money. Now, not so much.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
So, without naming any names, not going to name names.
But you will.
No, not going to say it. Some people think that saving money is just buying things when they're on special. How do you feel about that?
No, saving money is when you get paid, putting an amount aside, right? And then whatever you decide is expendable for the rest of the week can go on whatever. That can go on the sale items. There is no, you don't spend money to make money unless you're in business.
Hypothetically, if Alison said to you, oh, hey, Dan, took some money out of savings and I bought this because it was on special, I actually saved money. What would you say?
I would say, why the hell is our money combined? We don't do that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just run with it.
Doesn't it depend on if you usually buy that item or not?
Nah, oh,
if you're normally buying that item.
What's the item? Let's go into this a bit deeper.
Okay. The item could be anything, but my point
hot here, cross buns?
Yep.
Yum.
My point here is, it's like a new age mentality that if I buy something when it's on sale, I'm actually saving money. The problem with it is, shit that you buy goes on fucking sale in a cycle, right?
Yep.
So I see deodorant cans on sale, half price, $3.75 a can.
Buy it.
So you buy a couple, that's fine. Yep. But people that use sales for clothes or, you know, nice to have items, not necessarily need items.
Are you saying like a bread making machine that you would use maybe once a month?
Yeah, yep. Something like that. Just stupid shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was on sale, so I bought it, and technically then I saved money. You didn't fucking save money, you spent money. Put the money away and stop buying shit that you don't need because you saw some fucking marketing on Instagram and said that you need that thing.
I think to be honest, with what I said earlier about allocating money, there is only one reason, if you were to break that, and it would be if there was something that was going to benefit your life, let's say day-to-day life,
yep,
that you saw on special that hadn't been on special for a while, that's when you break that and you go...
Like a toasty maker.
Yeah, very shit example, but yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, thanks. Fuck. I didn't want to insult him too much.
I love my toasties.
But yeah, that's the only time you break that. You go, it's finally on special. Let's save on it now. And then the next week, you then change the amount of money you put aside from what you've done.
I still don't like it. Everything goes on sale. Even like Apple products go on sale these days. So one day, Mark, you'll actually be able to buy a phone that has more than 1 gigabyte memory.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't wait for that moment.
Do you imagine if we walked into an elevator and had this conversation, how would everyone else feel?
Oh, elevators are the worst place in the world. Worst. I reckon I was on about 25 elevator rides in Queensland, and every single one, only one other person struck up a conversation in there. Everyone else holds their breath, looks at the floor, like everyone tries to get on their phone, and they're not even looking at anything. They're just scrolling for scrolling because they're like...
There's no reception in an elevator anyway.
Everyone is so awkward. What is it with elevators?
I think, you know, when you get in there, I mean, are you dealing with a bunch of introverts or extroverts?
Well, you'd have to think that at some stage it's 50-50.
Any introvert is just completely locked off, shut down, on their phone, like not even a fake conversation.
Yeah, nothing.
Sometimes you get the fake conversation, someone in the corner will be like, you know, sparking up a conversation, but they know that everyone's listening in.
Yeah.
You can't say anything at all that's going to be anything interesting at all because you know that every person in there is listening in and they're people you
don't
know.
And they can't not listen in.
Yeah.
And especially if there's like no elevator music, which I don't think there is anymore.
No.
I can't remember the last elevator I got in and it had music.
No.
It's not a thing.
It's gone.
We did the elevator farts video years ago. So you go into the elevator... You have like the fart thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a thing because of that very reason.
Yeah.
Like the most awkward place imaginable.
And how were the reactions? Everyone just didn't know what to do.
People were disgusted. Like, and one person I think said, turbo. When one of us, that was a very random comment, but I loved it.
Turbo.
Yeah. Oh, turbo. That was my favorite.
Oh, man. Elevator music. Mm. It was always shit. Imagine if it was like a cool song, like do do do.
Like, why don't they have the radio
back door?
Oh, it's no Black Betty. There should be radio stations playing.
Why?
Why not? It's simple. It doesn't ever stay the same. It's nice and not relaxing, but it's just it's hip. It's up there.
It's a little hip.
I don't know. You get in a little box with all these people that you don't know. You're smelling and breathing their air. Why would you want to put more air in there?
Why is it? What do you mean more air in there?
In the elevator. The more you talk, the more bloody breath you're bloody putting out into the atmosphere.
Dan, the man has a point.
What?
The point is to shut up and just stay quiet.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But why does everyone get all awkward? Like people don't know how to stand in silence. It's very it's hard for people that aren't watching this to see my face.
Because the elevator is all mirrored glass and stuff as well. So you can see everyone. You're like, oh, fucking hell, look at this person.
That's probably what makes it even worse.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, and especially if someone smells and they get on there, that's even worse. Is it impolite to tell someone that they smell?
Yes.
But you should be able to. Yeah, but why?
You should be able to tell them that they smell.
Why can't you say to them, excuse me, sir, you stink?
Where does it go from there?
Oh, do I? What do I smell of?
You can't just say.
Extreme BO.
That ends up in a fight, Daniel. That's a punch up.
But then again, if you go, oh, hey, I noticed when you walked in, your breath was quite bad. Oh, really? Oh, I might go get it looked at.
Can you look at my breath?
Yeah, I'm booked in for a service at 3 o'clock.
Can you stare at my breath for like 5 seconds?
You know what I mean.
Tell me what's wrong.
They might go to the dentist and he goes, oh, that's the problem. That's what's causing the bad breath. And you've saved him 3 years of embarrassment before someone else did.
Brush your teeth for 3 weeks.
I think this chat has started something. Every time you're in an elevator... We just need to, as a community, the human population, strike up conversation, talk to everyone. Everyone just needs to be engaged and talking, and then that way that'll solve all our issues.
It's great in theory, but no one can fucking do it.
Correct.
At all.
And it's sad.
What is the general conversation in the elevator?
I don't know. What's your sex
There count? Isn't. There
have
isn't.
You, have you murdered anyone in the past few years? Anything?
I'm not talking to either of you in an elevator.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You won't be talking to me. There's no way.
A fight. Anything.
Oh, shit. Fucking hell. Well, what? Talking about shit, what would you do if, say, you're at, I don't know, new girlfriend's house, just going for your first visit, and you got a bad tummy, and you think, oh, bloody hell, I need to go to the toilet quickly, and you go and take a massive dump.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's embarrassing on the first date, isn't it?
It's not just a first date. If you're at anyone's house and that happens and you're on the toilet and you know that something bad is about to happen, and by bad I mean smelly, stinky, big pile of shit.
Do you know what saves you at someone's house? When they have an exhaust fan in their toilet or their bathroom. It muffles out enough of the...
Dan, you cut off my strategy.
Oh, what's your strategy? Sorry.
So when you're on the toilet and you know that you're about to do something really, really offensive, something that is going to rewrite history, right? You are on that toilet and as it's falling out, you're hitting the button already. So to cut off the smell, to cut off any chance that anyone within the household or maybe, I don't know, a proximity of 50 metres, you are pushing that button as it falls out. Wow. So as it's falling out, it's already down. There's no chance for it to start smelling.
So the lingering air is cut.
I've got a problem with the physics of that.
All right.
How many fucking times are you flushing the toilet during your sit?
Yeah, you're going to sound
No. You're not pushing hard enough. When you're sitting, when you're sitting on the toilet, as you're getting it all out, it's like, I mean...
Have you got a lot of hemorrhoids?
It's like a 5-second process of it's all falling out.
You've got a one-push rule.
No, I mean, I'm pushing it 2 or 3 times, but like the flush goes for 6 or 7 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
How much crap are you guys dealing with here?
Well, not as much crap as you.
No, I'd say less crap by what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. Well, what happens if, okay, you get away with that.
Yeah.
You do this big long poo, right, nice and neat. It buries itself in the water. You send it on its merry way.
Correct.
All right.
It's 4 runs.
4 runs, you're out.
4 runs.
Now, what happens if you leave a massive skid mark and there's no toilet brush? That's an embarrassing thing because she or he or whoever it is that whose house you're at, especially if you're drinking, they're going to go in there in a very short time and they're going to see that you've fucking put your shit signature all over the toilet bowl.
I think the problem is...
Shit signature.
I think the problem is you need to stop doing fucking reverse kangas at everyone's house.
You know what happens regardless of how you shit. How do people shit under the seat? Have you seen that in public toilets? And on the seat?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
It's weird. This brings me up a whole new point.
Sneaky poo. Remember sneaky poo?
Yeah, sneaky poo.
Fucking hell.
Do you know there's some people that have weird rules around poo? Mark's got one that you flush while you're pushing a fucking log
out. Only if you care about the people at the house you're shitting at. If you're at your own house, just fucking sit there, let it linger for 10 minutes. I don't give a fuck, but if you're at someone else's house, you're pushing it as it comes out. But moving on.
We used to have a friend who had a 3-wipe rule. So it doesn't matter how big the poo was, whether it was hard or runny.
Their own ass.
They would only ever wipe their ass 3 times. So my question is, are you the type of person that wipes until your paper comes out completely clean?
I'll almost use a whole roll to make sure it's clean. There's no stopping.
You get the buff out and just go...
Yeah, there's no way. I'm standing up and walking out of that cubicle, that room, that toilet, with a minuscule piece of shit still...
Here's the thing, right? My doctor, he said to me, you're an overthinker. I'm like, oh, okay, I probably am. I'm like, how do you know that? He's like, how many times do you wipe your ass after taking a shit? I'm like, that's a very weird question, but let's roll with it.
He loves your poo, doesn't he?
No, this is the other doctor. So they're just very weird. I'm like, I wipe it until it's all completely clean. And he's like, that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, how is that relevant to me being a cautious overthinker? He's like, it just is. And for the viewers listening, maybe that applies to you. If you're an overthinker, apparently you're more likely to wipe your ass more until you know for sure it's clean.
Wow.
And just remember, that's not coming from me. That's coming from a doctor who obviously knows what he's talking about.
The weirdest thing about this whole conversation is Why the hell is Mark talking about poo to his psychiatrist?
No, psychologist.
Same thing.
Yeah, he said that I was an overthinker, and then he asked me that random question.
Yeah.
And apparently that was related to that.
Well, what's that mean for people that don't wipe excessively?
You don't have a brain.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well,
if you're walking around with fucking half a log hanging out your ass.
Yeah, that's bad. You're going to stink.
Like, let's talk about the people that on the other end of the scale, the ones that just one wipe, oh, that'll do. Like, that's the disgusting, despicable people.
So we asked this bloke who had the three wipe rule.
Yeah.
Said, mate, every now and then you get the crayon poo where you wipe and it's like it's just drawing a fresh line on the paper.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
What do you do then? He's like, nah, three wipes. Always three wipes.
Fucking have a shower.
And asking the guy, how do you justify that? And he said, mate, my butt cheeks are big enough that my bum hole's down here. My butt cheeks clap over it. He says, it's never going to get anywhere. It doesn't matter. Three wipes, quick, easy, and I'm out of there.
Nah, don't like it. Nah.
I don't like it either. It's not my rule.
It must be hard.
Don't judge me.
If you're a fat person, sorry, I couldn't think of a word. It would be extremely hard, wouldn't it, to sort of completely erase all of the feces inside that area. I mean, for me, you, Rick, whatever, like, there's a choice. Just keep wiping till it's gone. There's a lot of people out there, like, they have no choice. Mm. Like,
they need to get the car chair.
Five, six, seven wipes. Yeah, like, just have a shower.
Hang on, can I ask you a question? Something that I've done, and I think your three wipe mate would hate this. If I'm really concerned about a crayon poo, which just keeps going, I'll lean forward and put a little bit of toilet paper under the tap and get it real clean. Almost like a wet wipe.
Yeah.
You done that?
I mean, I don't like to admit it, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, see? I reckon a lot of people out there do it too. If you don't have a wet wipe or something.
You can see it in his eyes. He wants to admit it.
Nah, never done it.
Never? Yeah. You've never wet a bit of toilet paper to properly clean your ass?
Do you know why they invented the wet wipe? For that very reason.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for babies.
You pretty much have a wet wipe if you wet the toilet paper.
Well.
Rick, come clean, literally.
Talking about things that are quick and efficient, 5 seconds of
something. All right. I'm excited this week. I feel like this is a mark 3 out of 3.
No.
Hang on, no, you can't just say that. It depends what order it goes in.
Well, you just need to give me 3 correct answers in 5 seconds.
Okay.
You can do that. All right, here we go. Name 3 things a woman puts on their face while doing their makeup.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Foundation, blush, mascara.
For Mark. No, but yes, well done.
You're welcome.
I thought you'd get that.
I misread the question.
You didn't read it at all.
No, like, what does a woman do in preparation for putting on her makeup to put on her face?
Oh, okay. So you went a step earlier.
Yeah, like,
God. Oh, well, there's always next time. Rick, name 3 bones in the human body.
Humerus, tibia, fibula.
Oh, well done.
Fuck me. Oh, I should have gone second. I know that.
All right. Oh, no. You're going to hate this one. Name
phalanges. Sorry, I had to get that one in.
Name 3 species of shark.
Patella, great white, hammerhead, and
sorry, mate.
Always got to be the joker, don't you?
What do you mean, hate that? I fucking love sharks.
No, I thought you were going to get it. All right. Rick, name 3 fish starting with the letter M.
Mollusk and a manta ray.
Nah.
Mollusk.
Nah. Sorry, mate. Fire. Nah, you could have gone mullet, marlin, there's another couple. I can't think now. Anyway, good chat, guys. All right. Name 3 things that can hurt you in the ocean.
Coral reef, puffer fish, and a shark.
Ooh, well done. All right, Mark.
That's it. Oh. 3 to him, 2 to me.
You fly through them these days, man.
Well, you won't want me to take it longer.
Well, give us a little bit more time.
Oh, nah. We're moving on fast.
Mark, if this was your job to do 5 seconds of something, I reckon you should probably quit it.
All right. At least I respect his answers and give him encouragement.
Yeah, you're really shooting him down.
Well, I don't know. Everyone's had a job that they've quit in a day. Or just...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I've been there. Have you guys had a shit job or something that?
I actually applied for a place once, and it was the shadiest interview I've ever had in my life. I drove into town, found this car park that was, even the car park felt shady, and I ended up going into this office, which actually was quite nice. I sat down, and you know how in an interview you're meant to sell yourself to the person?
Oh, I reckon I know what this will be.
Yeah, yeah. Straight away, the guy was like, looking at your resume, mate, you're already like, yeah, you're the guy. You're the guy we want. I'm like, hang on a second. Like, usually, nah, this is too easy. Way too easy.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was this on Flinders Street by any chance?
I think it might have been.
Was it casual leasing? Was it a job where you go in the supermarkets and stop people and...
It was, yeah.
My story is the same story.
Is it the same story? Oh, my God. And it's the worst. They're like, oh, look, no, what can happen is you can do this and you can do this, and they sell you everything.
Hang on. What's the job?
Okay, basically what happens is you go there to do an interview, but you just get the job. You don't even have to be good at anything. All you have to do is go, all right, yeah, I'm interested.
Eyes, ears, mouth, nose, he's wearing clothes. All right, you got the job.
Yep. So you're a human being and you're breathing.
Yep.
You're prepared to turn up every day.
And you could. Oh, did you say prepared to turn up?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wouldn't get it.
And then they take you out to a spot. Now, I got taken to, it wasn't West Lakes, it was...
I got taken to Arndale.
Yeah, I think I got taken to somewhere like Arndale. And they sit you down and they get you to fill out some paperwork. And I'm still like going like, what is this job? Like, I don't know what it is. And then all of a sudden, after you fill out this paperwork, they take you over to the middle of the mall and you stand there and they're like, just watch me for the next 10, 15 minutes. And it's just watching some guy stop people, get shut down again and again and again to try and sell. What was yours that you had to sell?
It was like the kids, you know, the things for the kids. Not 48 of famine. No, the World Children
thing. So like, yeah, famine subscriptions, that sort of stuff. And anyway, he goes, see how easy it is, mate? Like I got her like halfway there. She was sort of keen. I just went, I'm going home. See ya. Bye. And I just left. I was like, fuck, you wasted my fucking whole day.
In a job like that, how many times do they actually expect you to be able to stop someone? Like, if you get 100 people, what's the strike rate that they're expecting? Like, 2 out of 100?
Yeah, you'd have to think it'd be low. And the good ones would be 5 out of 100 or 6 out of 100. But
yeah, it's crazy. And so I remember the name of the guy who interviewed me as well. The reason I remember it is because his name was Angel.
Oh,
that was his name.
Angel. Is it? Wait, that's a red flag.
That is a massive red
flag. Hello, my name's Angel. That's pretty much saying, all right, I'm going to move on and try and find work elsewhere. Your name's Angel. I'm sorry, Angel, but no.
Have you ever had a job like that?
I've had a job where I majorly fucked up on the first day. It was really bad.
Hang on. This isn't the Woolworths one blowing the sky.
No. This wasn't the Woolworths one. This was a job delivering car parts from Adelaide to the Riverland. And this was...
Oh, he's told me this.
This was horrible. I felt so dumb. This is the all-time major fuck-up for the first day on a job. All right, let me tell you, right?
Go for it.
So I'm delivering car parts from Adelaide to the Riverland, right? One of my good mates, he was on this job and he quit. He didn't quit. He had something else come up. So he's like, Mark, you're taking my job. I'm like, that's fine, chill. Cash in hand job, right? So first day I went there, rocked up, and he said, all you have to do, and this is the whole job, you're driving from where you are right now to the Riverland and you have to get there by 9 a.m. So it was like a rock up 6 a.m., get there by 9 a.m., 3-hour drive, everything's fine. He's like, okay, so what I need you to do is take this card. Now, this card is the work card and it's going to get you free fuel. So when you drive past this Caltex or some servo, you stop there and you're going to stop there and you're going to pay for the petrol on this card.
So it's sorry,
rewind. It was gas. It wasn't petrol. So he obviously had this thing like a deal where I would get free gas at this place. So stop there. Don't go anywhere else because this is where you're going to get your free gas. So he's like, it's going to be on this road on the corner of here. Don't miss it. So I'm driving there and I'm driving this Ford and I notice that, you know, the gas light is sort of like it's down low and I'm like, all right, I really need this place to come up. Anyway, driving half an hour in, no sign of this Caltex or whatever. I'm like, I'm starting to get a bit worried now. Like, do I stop at a regular servo and just pay on my card and just tell him later on and get reimbursed? Mm. I'm like, no, I'll keep driving because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to see this Caltex. Anyway, keep driving, doesn't come up. Keep driving again, doesn't come up. And I go past this BP and I'm like, I reckon this is my last opportunity to stop, fill up out of my own money, get reimbursed, everything will be sweet, or I drive on and just hope that the one that he's mentioned bobs up. I decide not to stop.
Oh, you dickhead.
Oh. Okay, now let me tell you why I didn't stop. I'm driving a Ford. Now, if you drive a Ford, there's a range. It's a number that pops up and it's the distance that your car will go before it stops.
So from
empty. But here's the problem.
All right.
I was driving a Ford at the time that ran on petrol. This was a Ford that ran on gas. So an 80-kilometer range on a Ford that ran on gas is going to be completely different to one that runs on petrol, which I found out. So I just remember driving past this BP and the range went from 80 to 60 in about 1 kilometre. 60 to 40, 40 to 20, and 20 to shaking. Now, you know that horrible feeling you get when your heart sinks, that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Well, I wouldn't call it warm. It's very yuck.
It's a warm, disgusting feeling. Anyway,
that's anxiety.
It was anxiety times 100. I was absolutely horrified to find this car was shaking and stopping. I pull on over. The car is done. Remember, it's gas. It's not petrol, right? I'm thinking, first day on the job, how can I get out of this? So I call up my girlfriend at the time, her dad, who knew a bit about everything. And I said, this is a situation. How can I get out of it? He's like, can you get someone there and get them to fill up your tank with petrol? I'm like, it's gas. He's like, you're fucked. I had to hang up and call the boss on the first day and tell him, hello, this is Mark, the guy that you just employed, like, 24 hours earlier. The car has run out of gas. I missed the servo that you told me to get to. What the fuck do I do? And he's like, oh, mate. I had to get a guy to come in, tow the fucking car from where I was to the closest servo, which was about 40 Ks.
Oh.
So he came. We got the fucking car towed. I'm there sitting in the front seat like, you're just a fucking idiot, mate. Like, to myself. We get the car off, we fill it up with gas, off I drive, ended up being about 3 or 4 hours late. That was my first day at work, and sure enough, 3 days later, I was like, because I was working in healthcare, I'm like, I've got this job at Ashford Hospital, I want to work there, but if ever you need me to work for you... Just let me know. And he's like, sure, mate, no worries. Sure enough, never heard from him. he probably received that call going, this is the best thing ever. You're telling me that you can no longer work for me and if you ever need work, just let me know. He's like, I didn't even have to fire you.
But like, and he would have been like, sorry.
Anyway, so my friends gave me a nickname a few days later when I told them. I couldn't believe it. They called me the gas man. Oh, so I had the nickname.
Still your nickname?
No, it's not, but you guys can call me that if you want. I had the nickname the gas man there for a few years. No, a few months. It was horrible, but like I could like
that's embarrassing.
You could not fuck up more on a first.
Gotta pay more attention.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a game that you won't win unless you're paying attention, and that's who could it be now?
All right. Don't be angry if you lose this one.
Yeah.
Better be a fucking sportsman.
That's nightmare fuel, by the way.
Or someone that's slit some throats.
What?
that whole story. That's just nightmare fuel for me. I'm always so planned and know exactly what's going on.
All right. I was born in Lansing, Michigan on April 10th, 1952. I'm a man. When I was 5 years old, I moved with my parents to Fullerton, California. My mother later told People magazine that prior to the move, I was frail and suffered from asthma.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nope. She said, he was a punky kid back then, but he really thrived after the move from Michigan. As a teen, I spent most of my time in the garage listening to loud rock music. However, it was while working with a friendly old Japanese man at a dojo in Garden Grove that he was encouraged to visit Japan. I moved to Japan in 1971, and by 1974, I had returned to California. That year, I met Mayako Futajuntine. I can't even say that fucking word. Some Chinese guy. I mean, Japanese guy. A second-degree black belt and daughter of Osaka Akido, master who had come to Los Angeles.
All right. I've worked on the pronunciation before.
I tried. I really did, and the same thing happened every time. I just looked like an idiot. All right. In 1987, I began work on my first film, Above the Law. Following its success, I did three more movies called Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, and Out for Justice. All three were box office hits, making me an action hero. Nothing yet?
Sylvester Stallone.
No. I then achieved wider mainstream success in the 1992 movie Under Siege. I can't believe you guys don't.
Tommy Lee Jones?
No. Below are a list of movies that I've worked on. Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, Out for Justice, which we've already heard. Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Uh-oh, here we go. This is it.
Executive Decision, The Glimmer
Harrison
Man.
Harrison Ford.
No. Fire Down Below, My Giant, The Patriot. Now, he hasn't acted in all these. He might have helped with some...
Not Mel Gibson.
No, so he might have helped with some karate moves, but he's acted in most of them.
Bruce Lee.
No.
Jackie Chan.
Prince of Central Park, Exit Wounds, Ticker, Half Past Dead, The Foreigner, Out for a Kill, Belly of the Beast, Out of Reach, Clementine.
What?
Oh. I'm loving this. This is great. A Dangerous Man, Machete, Sheep Impact, Born...
Sheep Impact.
It's called Sheep Impact.
Machete. I think I know the guy, but I don't know the name.
Born to Rise Hell.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, but you're very close. Come on, guys.
Steven Seagal.
Yes! Yes, he's got it. Well done. Well done.
Pressure point.
Pressure point.
Steven Seagal.
I was going to drop Brendan Favola in there, but then I thought, nah, I'll leave it out. But yeah, that took a while. Well done. Well done. Did you have an idea and didn't know the name?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I thought
you did.
I was
singing one of those action heroes.
Because you were getting very close with the Jean-Claude and whatnot. Oh, well done, guys.
That was a little bit of a marathon.
It was.
Something that Rick and I will be doing next week that you won't be doing.
I know.
I was going to do one tonight, actually. Not a full, just a half.
No big deal.
You love your running. You're a running man.
Yeah.
Running man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sorry.
Do you know the last thing before we get going from this week's potty?
Yeah.
Something that really fucking grinds me is people who can't start a conversation without talking about the most stupid fucking thing in the world, which is the weather.
Oh, man.
It fucking annoys me. And it happens everywhere. But you walk into a shop or something like that, and the first thing the person wants to talk to you about, oh, yeah, it's a bit wet today, isn't it?
What is
that
it?
Fucking shit,
why can't
mate?
People get past the weather talk?
You know what?
It's laziness.
What it is, it's the default conversation subject that everyone will accept as normal.
Well, everyone experiences it, and that's the problem.
It's horrible. It's like, I have nothing else to say. Sunny today, isn't it? Like, that's what it is.
Look, put it this way.
Oh, geez, it's hot out there. It's like, what gives that away, mate? Yeah. I'm in your air-conditioned shop and I'm sweating fucking bullets.
Imagine if someone said, oh, you're wearing a black jumper today. Like, that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
It's that
it's
basic.
It's that. And the thing is, I could be behind someone being served in a service station, a car could crash into the pumps, flip upside down and catch on fire, and everyone should be going like, whoa, did you see that? And then the person would just go, you know, it's like a bit windy outside. They don't even bring that up. It's just all back to the weather. It's ridiculous.
It's so annoying. I've got a thing where if I meet someone new, I will not talk about the weather because it's just this, just the worst thing.
When you say you won't talk about it, do you mean if someone were to bring it up, you will ignore and change the subject?
Yeah, he'll segue. That's
what you do. Oh, you're good at the segue.
Yeah, well, I'm more interested to know what did you get up to today? Mm. Oh, I went and did this and I did that and I did this. That's more interesting. Not saying, oh, did you know that the sun's shining outside? We're fucking no shit, mate.
You know, there's a cold front coming in and you better get a jumper out.
Clouds are grey. Must be some rain on the way. Get fucked.
Yeah, boring. Very
boring. So boring.
What about this one? Good day for it.
Oh, no. That's one of those sayings that we should have brought up.
Good day for it pretty much means fuck, I hate you in the other direction.
There's so many
people. Go and get fucked.
Yeah.
All right.
Moral of the story is don't talk about the weather. Be more interesting as a human being.
Yeah, task for every listener this week is if when you go into the next shop, don't talk about the weather ever. Talk about something different.
You know what?
Maybe compliment something.
Say something out of the ordinary that is fucking crazy and interesting. Watch this podcast and comment on our video what that was and we will mention it.
Yeah.
Just be better at life. Mm. Create something interesting and we'll bring it up, all right?
Yeah, I love it.
We've had enough of basic shit.
All right, and that's us done for the week. All right, we better sign off. As always, guys, come find us on YouTube, Spotify, TikTok,
Apple Podcasts,
Instagram.
It's all there.
Facebook.
There's heaps.
Oh, yeah, we're everywhere.
Jazz with Cats podcast. See ya.
See ya.